Welcome back to the Roundtable. I butchered it during the billboard, so I'll try to be able to get all of these words in a sequence that you can understand. It's the Saratoga Wine and Food and Fall Ferrari Festival. It's one of the fastest growing wine and food festivals in the Northeast. This year's festival takes place September 7th through the 9th at Saratoga Performing Arts Center, better known as SPAC. Master wine connoisseur Kevin Zarelli will participate in the event, and he joins us now. Kevin is the recipient of the 2011 James Beard Lifetime Achievement Award. He serves as wine director of Windows on the World from 1976 to 2001. He's been in the Culinary Institute of America's Board of Trustees since 1990. He's been featured in the New York Times, People Magazine, the Wall Street Journal, USA Today, and all kinds of great publications. And he has written a very cool book called Kevin Zarelli's Windows on the World Complete Wine Course, and it's a pleasure to welcome Kevin Zarelli to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Do you like wine, Joe?
I do.
Good. You want me to tell what kind of wine do you like?
What kind of wine do I like? Mm-hmm. I'm very open.
Okay.
I have a wonderful profession that allows me to have professionals like yourself come in and open me up to new things that perhaps I was not privy to before.
Well, I think that's why the Saratoga Festival is so successful, because bringing wines in from all over the world. And these wines that we're having here today are from Italy. And yeah. I want to thank the Italian Trade Commission, because without them, the whole thing couldn't happen. The Ferraris couldn't happen.
So that's one of the things I wanted to ask you, of where does Italy rank in the world of wine?
Well, it's interesting. U.S. just took over as the number one consumer of wine in the world, beating out Italy. But, of course, look at the size of our country and look at the size of their country.
Yeah.
There's 20 wine regions in Italy, and it's one wine friend said, it's not really a country. It's one big vineyard from north to south. And Italy has actually, even though it's been making wines for 2,000 years, more than 2,000 years, it's actually had to unlearn and relearn how to make wine for the global market. So the best wines of Italy are coming out now. And the region we're going to be doing in Saratoga, the Saratoga Wine and Food Festival, is Piedmonte, which is up in the north.
Where is home base for you?
I'm actually in New Paltz, New York.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. I am a local.
All right.
Hudson Valley.
Okay, excellent. So, but obviously your travels bring you around the world, and which travels tend to do, I guess, isn't it? And you get to go to these different regions, and but that must be fascinating to see the trends and how things change.
For the 25th anniversary edition of the Windows on the World Wine Book, I actually went around the world. In one 365-day period, I went to 15 countries, 400 wine regions, and I tasted 6,000 wines just so I could be here with you, Joe, today.
Excellent.
I did it for you, man. tough. I
have 6,000 wines. How many sucked?
That's interesting. You should bring that up. Because I did a 40-year perspective. And I got to tell you, when I started 40 years ago, a lot of the wine sucked. Okay.
Yeah.
Today, it's very rare to find everybody's making quality wine around the world. This is the golden age for wine in the world. No doubt about it.
And is it because we are consuming it? As you said, in the United States, in Italy, and around the world, we have become, and in large part for work that you've done and work other people have done, of educating us as wine consumers.
Well, I don't know. Did you hear about the recession, by the way? I don't know if it did. It hit Albany. I don't know if it hit this whole tri-state area where we are.
Yeah, we got screwed.
Okay, well, you know, the whole thing is with wine, I've learned something. When times are good, people drink.
Yeah.
When times are not so good,
people drink
more.
Yeah.
And we've had 18 years of growth in the United States of America.
Yeah.
Every single state in the U.S. Has at least two wineries. So you have that going on, and you can thank a lot to the Italian immigrants coming over and then slowly moving their way west. Robert Mondavi is a perfect example of an Italian family that moved to California and created a great winery.
But because we are more educated, we become better consumers, right?
Yeah, and the other great thing I wanted to bring up is, as a matter of fact, in the back of the book, because I do taste so many wines every year, I put in the best values. And this is very, very important for your listener. You don't have to spend a lot of money. You don't have to spend a lot of money. You don't have to spend, as a matter of fact, $20 could be your limit. And actually, the wines that we're doing here right now,
yeah,
not many of them are going to be going over that because we're trying to find the value. My job is to find the $10 bottle of wine that tastes like a $20, a $20 that tastes like a $40, a $50 bottle of wine that might taste like a $5,000 bottle of wine.
I know we've played that game in the studio here with one of your colleagues, Stephen Culpan, who has said, you know, which costs more, which tastes. And that's always a fun game because I always lose, but it's still, it's very interesting.
Nobody tastes wine. No one tastes anything alike. And if you really want to take a look at the olfactory part, and one of the best parts of my book is the olfactory, is that 90% of taste is smell, which reminds me, would you like to taste some wine?
Let's do that.
I don't know how much time we have here. So these are some of the wines.
We've got some time. It's the Speck Wine and Cheese. It's the Saratoga Wine and Food and Fall Ferrari Festival. A lot of alliteration. And it takes place the 7th through the 9th. And you can find out more information by going to speck.org. Where would you like to begin, sir?
Okay, so we're in Italy.
Yes.
And actually, the name of the winery is called Antica Cantina Canelli. And you can just say Canelli. Antica Canelli would be fine. And in Piedmont, this is a wine that you would know by the grape. It's called Chardonnay. And I just want listeners to hear. I used to have a radio show once.
Yes.
They want to hear that. They're saying, how could you be tasting wines at 11:30? Actually, this is the best time to taste wines as a professional.
Because this is late for us. We usually do this around 11.
Oh, okay. All right. I hope you're off after this. So in Piedmont, they grow a lot of different grapes. Most of it's indigenous, meaning it's from there. But Chardonnay is the global white grape, if you want to put it that way. Some of the best wines in the world are made with Chardonnay. So again, what am I looking for in Chardonnay? Crispness, easy type of wine. There's no oak in this wine. That's a big difference. You have to make sure when it comes to Chardonnay, do you like it with oak or without oak? Or naked, as they might say.
So, and it seems, just the way you phrase that you like it without oak.
It depends on what I'm having. As a matter of fact, when they do the dinner on September 7th, on the stage at SPAC, we're actually going to put these wines with food. And it's very, very important that we actually make the right combination. So you can do a lot of different things with a unoaked Chardonnay with different kinds of food and an oaked Chardonnay with different kinds of food. So when I work with the chef on this, I'm going to be looking for something easy, light white fish or something to that effect to go along with this wine.
So when I go and I see on that label it says Chardonnay, how do I know oak or not oak?
That's where the retailer comes in. You know, the best advice I can give to anybody is find the right retailer. Like you'd find the right place to shop for clothes or work groceries or whatever. Get your hair done. Find the right store in your area.
Someone who will lie to you good. Do I look good in this? You look great. It makes you look thin. Yeah. Your hair looks wonderful that way.
Yeah. But then again, there are the other ones who tell you the truth.
You know? You're right.
And as I said, you don't have to spend more than $20 for a bottle of wine.
Okay. So this would retail?
This right now, actually, believe it or not, these wines are not available in the United States yet. This is the debut of the Antica Canelli.
Now, while you've been sitting here, you've been swirling it around in a nice little hurricane fashion in the glass. Do I need to do that?
It's a nervous habit that I have. I do it with orange juice. I do it with coffee. And actually, this is something, I hear you have a live feed possibly, but the fact remains is when you have a wine in your glass, I'm just trying to get, remember what I said, 90% of taste is smell.
Yes.
I can smell the wine from here and it's about 10 inches away. The other thing, too, is put your hand over the top. Well, first, do me a favor, Joe. Just smell it.
Okay.
Smell it three times. Smell it once. Yeah. Now, what am I getting there? It's like apple.
Yeah.
It's fresh. It's crisp. Now, put your hand over the top.
You do get a crispness, which I guess goes with the apple. Okay.
Right?
And then swirl.
I have my hand over the top. I'm swirling it around. I'm now going to open it up like a boom. Open it up. And it's night and day. Your smell is so much more when you have your hand over the top. You're keeping all the
good stuff,
aromas in there of the Chardonnay grape. And so I'm going to give it a toast. We have to let people know that we are toasting here.
Excellent. Nice glassware.
I just started swirling.
No spitting here.
No, but I was normally sometimes
spit-free zone in this wine tasting.
I take air in sometimes to get a little bit more.
That's lovely. Very
it's
nice.
Easy to drink.
Yeah.
And again, this is definitely under $20 a bottle.
It's a little bit sweet.
Actually, it's interesting you should say that. There is no residual sugar left in the wine, but there's so much upfront fruit.
Yeah.
And now what you're getting is acid. acidity, lemon, lime, zest, or whatever you want to call it over on the sides, like lemonade. If you think about this now, because we've had the taste of the wine a minute ago, it's still there. That's a lingering effect. So I am a great believer in unoaked Chardonnay. I think it's, if you like Sauvignon Blanc, if you like Pinot Grigio, those are two other major grapes, even Riesling. If you like Riesling, then you want to get an unoaked Chardonnay. Now, that said, some of the best wines in the world are made with oak. They're fermented in oak, and they're aged in oak, but they're not going to be under $20.
Right.
Okay? They're going to be somewhere like over 100. So that's the Chardonnay that they have here.
All right.
That
was lovely. Very nice.
The Canelli, the Antica Canelli, actually has 200 wine growers that they work with in Piedmont. Now I'm going to go to where the real success of Piedmont is red wine.
Yeah.
There's a great village there called Barolo. There's a great village called Barbaresco. This one is actually coming from a village called Alba. And anybody who's been to Italy, if you see a wine, it says Dolcetto di Alba on it.
Right.
So Dolcetto is the name of the grape. And this, it's still, you know, here we are, the end of August, going into September. We had the heat wave happening, and this wine is chilled down. I have this wine, a red wine. It's a red wine, chilled down, because I think it's still very, very fresh. Again, another unoaked wine.
Oh, all right.
So here's the cork coming out.
Oh.
And it's going to be light in color.
Would we know to chill it?
No, I'm trying to...
Educate us.
Thank you.
Okay.
And read my book.
All right.
And here we go.
All right. Very good.
So basically, I'm looking at the color. It's actually got more color than I thought it was going to have. And it might be the vintage as well. But it's got nice red color.
Yeah.
I love the smell, though, because the smell is like, it's like fresh juice. Like if you're in a winery, that's the smell that you're going to get.
Yeah.
And of course, there's plenty of wineries. If we go further upstate into the Finger Lakes, and Italy is just full of wineries. So the smell, I think actually swirling it around, opened it up more.
Yeah.
It smells better. A toast.
And
again, this is a wine that I would have, Dolcetto di Alba, or there's even other Dolcettos. But Dolcetto is the name of the grape. Easy to drink, easy to say, and in the right price range.
And 2008?
Mm-hmm. I wish everybody could be here.
I love that. That's very nice.
And that's also a barbecue wine. Think about that. I'm even saying a hamburger.
All right.
Yeah. You know, not this
put
whole
a hamburger on the grill.
Yeah. This whole thing about, to me, it's never been about wine. It's about wine and food.
Yeah.
This is a very rare. Only when I'm tasting am I not having
Ferraris
food.
Ferraris come in.
We have your Ferrari outside.
Okay. All right.
So everybody look for Joe.
Get to try those two.
On Central Avenue. This afternoon, he's got his red Ferrari outside.
Well,
and
hurry up. It may not be there long. All right. That's lovely.
Yeah.
Really nice.
It's just, again, Dolcetto is a wine to drink now. And by the way, this is a misnomer. 90% of all wines made in the world, 90% of all wines made in the world should be drunk within 1 year. 1 year.
Another. Is that true? 90%?
Would I lie to you? Brother,
90%.
I would lie to you.
Okay. So I don't understand. So... Say what you just said again.
90% of all wines made in the world today should be consumed within 1 year. Every wine. No, every wine in the world.
Of their release?
From the vintage on there? This is an exception to the rule.
Okay.
Okay? Oh, let me go on then. Another 9% of all wine should never see more than 5 years. And if we add that all up, the bottom line is 1% of all wines will age over 5 years.
Okay.
So it's not this whole thing that wines are all going to get better with age. The Dolcetto is ready to drink when you buy it. An unoaked Chardonnay is ready to drink when you buy it. Pinot Grigio is ready to drink. You don't have
so
to...
So if I take a bottle out of 2008, hold on to it for 2 years, it's not going to get better.
Not necessarily. And it also depends upon, how you're storing it. If you have it next to the stove, it's summertime and it's 80 degrees in your kitchen versus a 55-degree temperature, which is normal for a cellar.
Right.
So that's what that comes to be. I got two more for you. Can you handle it?
Yes.
Okay. So again, what do we have? Chardonnay, which is again a global grape. California produces it. Upstate New York, the Hudson Valley produces it. In France, it's one of the major grapes. Dolcetto, though, is a grape variety that you're really only going to see in Italy. It's an indigenous grape. So it's not going to be anywhere else. Same with the next one. And this is called Barbera. These are easy to say. Barbera, and this is from another region, Barbera d'Asti. You've heard of Asti Spumante, maybe?
Yeah.
The sparkling wine, but Asti is a major village in Piedmont in Italy. And this wine here, Barbera, again, no oak. You drink it right away.
Well, that sounds great.
Joe likes the sound and the taste. Now, by the way, I'm doing them in an order here right now. This wine should have a little bit more body than the previous one, than the Dolcetto.
All right.
And I actually do that when I'm doing the classes. Actually, I do have a class. I'll be on stage doing some auction on the 7th and on the 8th, where they have the grand tasting at
yes.
Saratoga. All these wines will be featured. I'll probably have about 200 people in the audience and doing what I'm doing here with you right now. And the order of the wines is extremely important. You want to do lighter style first and move up. And this is really what I'm going to be doing on the 8th of September at Saratoga, is a tasting of these wines.
Now, the festival takes place from the 7th through the 9th. So if we want to take your course, then we go on and we specifically sign up for that.
Right. If you go to the website, you'll see exactly what it is.
All right.
And again, that the Antigua Cantina Canelli is the sponsor.
Yeah.
They're actually the big sponsor here this year, and we thank them for that.
Great.
And along with the Italian Trade Commission.
Okay.
Also for getting us the wines.
Yes. All right. So the third one is what?
Barbera.
Okay,
and
Barbera.
It's the number one red grape planted in Piedmont. And Barbera, though, the Italians even brought it over to California. So there is still some Barbera planted in California. Cabernet Sauvignon and Pinot Noir and Merlot have sort of taken over California.
Yeah.
But when the original Italian immigrants came over, Barbera was one of the grapes that they planted. So
terrific smell.
Yeah, this has got a more intense aroma. Aroma is the smell of the grape.
Yeah.
Bouquet that you hear about all the time really comes with age. But what I'm getting here right now, much more fruit. Oh, I'm getting a little words. I don't like to use too many words because it's very subjective.
Yeah.
Semantic value of what is it? Does it smell good?
Right.
And it does smell good. And I'm getting a little licorice in there, like black licorice. So a toast, Joe. We only got one more to go after this.
Toast to the last wine.
Now, with this wine, and if
oh,
listeners,
heavens.
Yeah, boy, that's
wow.
There's a word we use that's called grip.
Yeah,
it's gripping my mouth.
Yeah, and it won't let it go. It's nice and dry.
It's
and
totally dry.
Yeah,
and that's tannins.
Yeah, I like
and
that.
And this wine has got much more tannins than the previous wine has.
Yes,
and that comes from the skins themselves.
Right,
and also if you age wine in oak, and there is a little oak age in this one. So this is the first wine we're having with a little oak age. The Chardonnay, no oak. The Dolcetto, no oak. Now we're to Barbera. I want everybody to remember to go out and get these wines, you know, the Barberas and the Dolcettos. They're just spectacular. Going into the fall, again, outdoor, you're still doing barbecue kind of stuff. This is the wine. This wine, though, would probably need something more than a hamburger. You know, this is a sirloin steak type of thing on the Barbie.
Or just this.
You could do that, Joe. I don't know what time your show starts in the morning.
It's 9 to noon, but we're
okay.
Fine. We're... you know, we're conditioned. That's great. Wow, that's excellent. All right.
And that is actually more of a food wine. It's interesting you should say that, because I could say, and again, there's no right or wrong answers, and that's the other thing people got to remember, no right or wrong answers. Dolcetto, to me, is a wine by the glass at a restaurant. But I actually, for me, I want to have that with food.
Yeah.
Because that tannin will get to you after a while. So this is going to be the interesting one, because it is called Muscato. And Muscato can be, Muscato is the name of the grape, Muscat
yes.
grape. And it can be still, meaning not sparkling, or in this case, sparkling. So, you know, you have to be very, very careful with the bottle of sparkling wine, which is also called champagne in France, Spumante in Italy, and also there's another wine called Prosecco, which also comes from Italy. But you have to be careful, pounds per square inch. I'm not actually joking here right now. You have to, this could actually hurt somebody, so I'm trying to do it carefully. Get that cork. Joe, I'm not pointing it at you.
No, okay? Let her rip.
Joe
I don't
just
care.
Moved.
Yeah.
You know, but you don't want to have that big pop, right? You want to have like a little.
Oh, you don't want the big pop?
You want that.
Just really?
And I notice my hand is still on the cork.
Yes.
I didn't let it fly where it could hurt somebody.
Yeah.
And
I can understand not wanting to hurt somebody, right. but is there a difference if you just let it fly and make that great sound?
Well, the sound and the Moscato flowing over. First of all, you just lost a glass of wine. I don't know why would anybody want to do that.
Well, that's a good point.
And second of all, you're losing the carbonation.
Yeah.
That's the whole purpose they put it in.
All right.
Now, this is going to be a dessert wine. Okay. So I'm going to end.
I'm ready for dessert.
This will make you very happy. Okay, this is actually a morning wine. Okay, we're still in the morning show.
I was pretty happy coming into this. You know, it was even better.
But this is, again, to make a sparkling wine is much more difficult than it is to make these other wines because you have to go through a secondary fermentation, et cetera.
Right.
But I don't know if everybody can hear the sound. So you heard this.
That.
So, yeah. So the radio can translate.
Oh, yeah.
Wine can translate. So, and what you get on there is like you would get on a beer, a great head.
Yeah.
That's what they would call that. They're, and the smell?
Yeah, you. I mean, you have like a quarter inch head on that.
Yeah, I'm.
Yeah, but well, your area, but yes.
Well, actually,
I mean, you're swirling it.
I'm not swirling it as much though, because I don't want to lose the carbonation.
Okay, all right.
But what do you get on the? What they sometimes these wine people, my friends, call it the nose of the wine. But it's really what does it smell like to you? What
well,
does it
I have
to
say this out of all of them, this is the most subtle in smell.
Okay,
it's more, and I don't know whether it's because I haven't been.
I'm getting a lot of flowers, a sweetness of flowers. It's
there
like
is
almost
sweetness.
Walking into a florist shop.
Yeah.
And I can't, by the way, walk into a florist shop.
Yeah.
But no, I'm attacked. Don't forget, I really do taste 5,000 wines a year.
Okay. So
and it's all based on smell. So it forget I can't do it.
But am I right that it is subtle?
Yes.
It's
the Muscat grape is a fascinating grape, and it is grown all over the world. But in Piedmont, it does unbelievable. As I said, it can also be a still wine, meaning no carbonation, or you can get the Moscato with carbonation.
All right. So here we go. This is the... That's very nice. It's a lovely sparkle. It's sweet.
No, but not overly sweet, though.
No.
What I like about it, you get the sweetness on the tip of your tongue.
Yep.
And the fruit continues. And it's like biting into a fresh fruit.
Yeah, it is.
And that's, again...
only better.
As the day goes on.
Yes. And that's terrific. And so all of these are... Am I right? You said all of these are...
All of them are under $20.
Wow.
And to find that and is amazing. Especially from... And I have to say this. This is very, very important. Piemonte is one of the major regions in the world. This is not, I mean, there's 20 wine regions in Italy. This is one of the best wine regions in the world. With the diversity, as you can see here right now, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but whites to light reds. And if we could have a Barolo or a Barbaresco here, they'd have to be 20 years old.
So the festival goes on September 7th through the 9th at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center. It's the Saratoga Wine and Food and Fall Ferrari Festival. The 7th through the 9th, you can find out more by going to SPAC.org. And if we want to take part in your session on the grand stage of the Saratoga Performing Arts Center, that takes place...
Well, I'm doing the dinner on
the
stage.
Dinner,
that's Friday, September
7th. The Friday night dinner.
And then the next day in the afternoon, I'm not exactly sure of the time, some around 2 o'clock or something like that, 1:30, I'm going to be in a private tent. So you can just come in and try these great wines, and you'll see what I'm talking about. The most important thing that I don't want to forget, you know, SPAC is very, very important to this whole region. I've been there many, many times, not just for the festival.
Right.
And it is their biggest fundraiser. The biggest fundraiser they have is the one that's happening on the 7th, 8th, and 9th.
Well, it's a great event, and it's a lovely event. And I can't thank you enough for coming in and sharing the wine with us this morning and whetting people's appetite for your incredible event. And this is just one of many demonstrations that will be going on throughout the festival.
Hundreds of wines to be tasted.
Again, September 7th through the 9th, the Saratoga Wine and Food and Fall Ferrari Festival taking place at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center, spec.org/wineandfoodfest for more information. Kevin Zarelli is the man. His book is Kevin Zarelli's Windows on the World, Complete Wine Course, and 3 million copies sold. You're probably up to 4 now, right?
Actually, it is up to 4. Thank you for bringing that up. And no, I you know why? Because I'm proud because I'm an American.
Yeah.
I'm from New York. I'm local. And that's the largest selling wine book in the world.
Good for you.
Well, it's good for the kids. Okay. By the way, last question for you, though.
Yeah.
Favorite wine. Now, you had the Unoaked Chardonnay. Then you had the
Barbara.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to do it for you. And by the way, in that book, the new book that just came out, you can hear, you can do the tags and get the pronunciation, Barbera.
Barbera. Barbera. I was like Hanna-Barbera.
You got it.